All right, everybody. We just finished recording episode 26 of Festool Shop Talk. And this is a doozy because it was with Nolan Thompson from Nolan Built. And if you are considering going and taking your passion of woodworking and you're working a full-time job now and want to make the transition into a full-time woodworker, you have to listen to episode 26 with Nolan Thompson on Festool Shop Talk. So everybody, welcome to episode number 26 of Festool Shop Talk. And today we have a friend of mine named Nolan Thompson, and you can find him on Instagram and everywhere as Nolan Built. Man, I saw you on IG, Facebook. You have a YouTube channel. Nolan, where are you from?
I'm originally from Durham, North Carolina, and now I reside in Hampton, Virginia.
Very cool. What I always ask in the very beginning is, tell us a little bit about yourself. Give us a little bit of your background. Tell us what you do.
Like I said, from Durham, North Carolina, came up to Virginia in an apprentice school program for a local shipyard here in Newport News, Virginia. And so I worked on nuclear aircraft carriers and submarines straight out of high school as a pipe fitter, and just kind of worked there for about 15 years before I took my business as a full-time cabinet maker and furniture maker full-time. So that's kind of the backstory, and the shipyard is kind of where I got my hands-on learning how to use power tools and knowing the importance of safety and stuff like that around power tools. And the transition from the shipyard to what I do now kind of happened after I went into management at the shipyard, thinking that I wanted to preserve my body, move up, make more money, provide, you know, more money for my family. And all that was true. The reality check was when I got to that desk, it was pretty boring. And so after being bored with, you know, kind of not putting my hands on things anymore, I ended up starting doing home projects in the first home that I bought. And it kind of snowballed from there. You know, I started out with like a little tile saw, tiling my kitchen floor. And one thing turned to another. I started making shelves and stuff for my closets. And next thing you know, I was making furniture for friends. And next thing you know, here I am, full out cabinet and custom furniture shop.
That is amazing. And I got to tell you, this sounds funny, but you remind me of me. I just really quick, I think some people know my story. I might have told it a few times on Shop Talk, but I was in a restaurant business and it was too much. I owned some diners and I got out of it. And I wanted to work with my hands again. And I didn't know I was a woodworker, but I was. And I, once again, building stuff around the house and working part time at a tool store, then full time at a tool store, but also part time as a builder. And I'll tell you what, it just morphed into a cabinet shop in Fort Lauderdale. And people always say, what would you do if you ever left Festool? I go, I'd open up a shop immediately. I do miss it a lot. I love the hands-on and it's wonderful. So that's cool, man. I'm sorry I went on. It's about you, but that is really cool. When I met you, I was getting a beer at WorkbenchCon, you remember?
Yeah, I remember. Do.
And I was talking with Annette, a 513 Woodworks. I turned around and you're standing next to her. And I went, hey, I think I know you. And you go, no, I think I know you. And we just started talking.
Yep.
It was funny. And the next thing I know, I had to turn around back to the bar and get another beer. And it was like talking to me when I was talking to you. I was like, this is really cool, because I know you build cabinets and I was kind of eyeballing your sites the other day.
Let me see. Hey, when you started, were you starting at the house in the garage? Because I know you're in a nice size shop now.
Yeah, so my first garage was a one-car garage on my first home. And I started out just, I believe I started out with a Hitachi miter saw and a little drill combo kit that was made by Black & Decker called the Matrix. You could interchange the heads on the drill. So the drill could be a saw, a sander, a router. It was like a whole little thing, and it's one little thing or whatever. And so I made a bunch of stuff with just the miter saw and this little drill combo thing. And then I think it was I was trying to make some shelves for a closet, and I wanted to make a cut on a board that was, you know, longer than the miter saw could cut. I said, "Damn, I need a table saw." And so I think my table saw was probably a wedding gift, if I remember correctly, I used some of my wedding, because my wedding, we just asked for gift cards to Lowe's or Home Depot instead of, you know, people just buying random things. I was like, no, don't do that. Yeah. Give me some money and then we'll go figure it out or whatnot. Mm-hmm. So I believe one of the things I bought with my wedding funds was a little cobalt table saw.
Nice.
It kind of just took off from there. My wife, every year, my wife would buy me something for like birthdays and Christmas. And instead of letting her, you know, choose stuff, I would give her a list. Just pick one of these things.
Yep, for sure.
Just snowball from there, man. I just kept on buying tools, kept on watching everybody else build on YouTube and Instagram and Facebook. And I was like, you know, just learning from different people that were willing to share information and, you know, just kind of grew from there and just kept on honing my craft and trying to get better, trying to find out who did what the best and how theirs came out, and just kept tweaking and learning. And here I am just continuing to try to still learn. I mean, it's always a growing evolution because things and technology and equipment are always changing. So
yeah, for sure.
Find better ways to continue that.
Man, trying to see, I'm from a different era. I am pre-YouTube. but we were smart, me and my business partner, we were in an industrial area. So if we had a situation or we needed to learn a new technique, we'd pull a job and we'd walk out of there. And Mikey, my business partner, would say, "Hey, do we know how to do that?" I would go, "Heck no, but we're going to learn." He goes, "We don't know how to do it." I go, "Yeah, but, you know, Poppy over in Malta might know." And he looks at me and he goes, "Oh, yeah, we can go ask them." Nowadays, I see so many wonderful craftsmen like yourself willing to share their experiences.
Yeah.
And I think the community on YouTube and Instagram is just phenomenal, because I can reach out to anybody and say, "Hey, what do you think of this?" You know, that's really, really cool. So you're in a nice size shop now. Where is that and how big is it?
It's in my backyard. When I made the transition from my job to taking the business full time, I weighed the options of getting a commercial space versus getting a space on my own property. And I decided to go with the own property because of just not wanting to have overhead. And, you know, wanting to be, just have my own and be able to continue on without anybody raising rent or saying, "Hey, this is going to be something's changing," or whatever it may be. So I have a 24x40 shop, plus about 960 square feet, 12 foot walls, 16 foot at the peak. And when I built it, I thought it would be big enough. And it turns out that it was like nowhere close. Because it filled up so fast. Because I was in my two-car garage before I went and built this. And I was like, "Well, I'm going to be doubling the space. And, you know what I'm saying, I'll have plenty of space with that." And when I was in the two-car garage, I had that big clamp rack in the garage with me. So really, I was working in about a 6-foot by 12-foot space as far as where my workbench was at. That's all I kind of had because that clamp rack was in there taking up all of the space. And I was like, "Well, if I can work in this, then this should be like really huge. Like, I should be able to do everything here. And now I'm like, man, I wish I could have a bigger building. Like, I would love to have a spray booth and a whole bunch of other stuff. But that's just things you learn as you go. You know, they say no matter what size building you get, you'll find a way to fill it up.
Oh, every single time. I went from space to space. And I was in 1,800 square feet. And at the last time, and I was just like, oh, we won't outgrow. We outgrew it within 3 or 4 months. It's incredible. Because A, you're taking on more work too. And people don't realize, where do you store? If one kitchen is not ready to install, where do you store it to not ding it, right?
Where do you store all of the plywood when you first start the order? Yep. And then the second one, like you said, where is the finished cabinets getting stored at? Like, all of that stuff is big space takers.
Oh, for sure. And hey, what'd you do with that clamp rack? Because that was a Taylor clamp rack. Those are nice.
Gave it away, or not say gave away, I sold it to another cabinet shop local to me, and I believe he just took the clamps off of there and got rid of the base itself. So wow. I think he was gonna make his own, like you've seen the JLT, the blue version, where you can kind of just put it up against the wall. Yep. I think he's going to make something like that out of the clamps. I thought about that initially, but I was just like, the clamps that were on that rack were only 34 inches clamping capacity. And I really wanted like the 50 inch ones if I was to get one of those again. And so I was just like, at the time, I was like, I'm really not using it. I've had it for a couple of years now. I haven't used it nowhere near as much as I initially wanted to. And my business is transitioning from furniture and tables to cabinetry. And I could really use the space more efficiently if that was gone. And I finally bit the bullet and let go of it because I got it for a killer deal. You wouldn't believe how much I paid for it.
How much?
Take a guess.
500.
Less.
No way.
$100, sight unseen, auction online, nobody else bid on it.
You gotta be kidding me. So I was talking to somebody last night, and it was really funny because we were talking about drum sanders, and I've had one for 25 years. I got a killer deal on it, but guess what? Because someday I'm going to use it, but it just sits in the corner. And listening to you just now about that Taylor clamp, you got it for $100, but you still needed the space. It's taking up space in my shop. I'm in a 3-saw garage right now, and I know what space is like. That is so cool. So you're saying you're a trade, because I know you were on, I think on your website it says you do a lot of custom tables and all kinds of stuff, but you're doing kitchens now, huh? You like doing the cabinet thing?
Yeah, I am in the process of transitioning from custom furniture to mostly cabinetry. Now, I still do custom furniture, but I'm pushing more towards the cabinetry side. One, because of higher profit margins and in the same amount of time that it would take me to build a couple of tables. And the reason for that is because the first year in business full time, I think I did like 25 projects with very little profit margin. And I was really exhausted. Like, I mean, I was going as hard as I could, doing everything, taking on almost every job. And at the end of the year, I didn't have a lot to show for it. And I hadn't spent a lot of time with my family, which was one of the biggest reasons why I left my job and took this full time, because before I was doing both. I was going to work, get off work, spend an hour or two with family, go in the shop and work from maybe 8 p.m. to maybe midnight every night to grow the business. And so I said, once the business gets to a certain point, I want to leave the work, the full-time job, and go take the business full-time so that I can spend more time with my family. And after that first year of just giving it all I got, and it really wasn't a much reward from it, I was like, there's got to be something better than this. And two of the things that I changed was, one, I raised my prices, and two, I started marketing towards a different category of building, which is cabinetry. And also, I had, like, right after I had made that decision, I had just bought the CNC. And in my opinion, the way to maximize that CNC was either by cabinetry or having to be really good at, you know, pumping out a lot of like signs and things of that nature. So in my market where I'm at, the cabinetry was more profitable and more in demand than anything else.
Yeah. So everybody's looking for boxes for sure. Yeah. So your clientele, I know you're in Hampton Roads, Virginia. And I know because you had said, hey, I was up here working on nuclear aircraft carriers and stuff, right? Yep. So there's a lot of naval people there because that's Norfolk, right?
Yep.
In Virginia Beach, my brother lived there when he was in the Navy. Do you have a lot of clientele that's in that's naval or Navy?
I've had a few, not honestly, not as many as you would think that I would, but like I said, I'm on the side of where my business has always been word of mouth, and now I'm finally starting to get to the point where I'm starting to try to market more, do more advertising, and get my name out there more, and not just be reliant just on word of mouth, because for the most part, I haven't done any advertisement in the 8 years that I've been in business.
Wow. Hey, do you mind me asking? How are you reaching out? Because I'll tell you what, when we were all word of mouth, but I see how social media is here. Do you reach out to clientele, or they reach out to you via your Instagram or YouTube for work to be done? How do your clients come to you?
The most client work comes through Google. Just having my website and my business registered on Google is where most of it comes through, because once you register your business on Google, you are able to put in what you want to be searched by as your keywords. And so if somebody searches for woodworking or custom furniture or cabinetry in my area, my Google account will show up as providing those services. The second one is Facebook. Facebook is like the new school word of mouth. So if I have any friends around here and they see me post, they'll either share with somebody else who was just talking about it, or they'd be like, hey, I like what you built, and you build me something like this, or I see that you build things. How much would something like this cost, or whatever it may be? And that's kind of been how it's been going for the first, say, 8 years or whatnot. And now I'm just now getting to a point where I'm starting to try to see how pay for ads in Facebook, Instagram, and Google will work out for me. And I'm also trying out something called direct mail campaign marketing. So I'm trying out all these things, going to try to get the wheel going. And if I catch momentum, my plan is just to never let go of the momentum. Just keep building on it.
And just is it just you in the shop now? Or do you have employees? Just you? No,
it's just me. Yep, the only employee I have is the CNC. I call him my employee because I'm able to throw sheets on there, start him, and then start doing something else, depending on how long the sheet has on the cut. Some of those sheets are coming off within 2 minutes, and so I got to turn around and give it another sheet of plywood. But it just depends on what it is that I'm cutting on it.
Well, how long have you had the CNC?
It's been a little over a year now.
Wow.
Yeah. I believe it's been a little over a year.
How long did it take you to get to speed on like G code and everything?
So there was a guy at work, but it's kind of the same one we were at where I met you. His name was Kyle, and he does a program called Learn Your CNC. And so I got with him, and basically his program has videos from step by step on how to go from knowing nothing, which I did, I knew nothing about it. I'd never had one before. And it took you all the way up to however detail you wanted to get. And so basically I learned the basics. And once I got to the point where I knew how to get done what I wanted to get done, that's kind of where it stopped at. I still have the ability to go back and learn more. Cause like, I don't do like a lot of 3D carving or anything like that. I'm for the most part all 2D. But after that, it was just, all right, what is it that I need to get done? How can I do it on this machine? Now that I have this investment, I need to make sure that I use the investment and continue to get better at it. So I did a lot of practice on it, you know, learning, had a lot of learning curve, had a lot of pieces that, you know, I messed up or learned a lot about vacuum beds and the whole nine. And it was a learning process. But if you think about, you know, I've only had it for a year and I'm already, you know, cutting out full kitchens on it. I say that's not a bad time frame to go from knowing nothing to getting products pumped out consistently.
That's amazing. That for me, I just think that's the greatest thing. Now, that program, is that free online or is it a pay for?
The one that I learned on, it's a pay for program. I can't remember how much it costs. And it may have changed since I got it. So, but definitely, if there's anybody who wants to think about getting into CNC or whatever, his videos are so detailed. Like it takes you by the hand and just walks you along. Like,
there's so much great also free content out there on anything, any technique. Yeah. For me, I think that is the beauty of YouTube is everybody, how do you say, passing on the craft of what they do. It's amazing. Okay. Hey, I just looked at the clock. I'm sorry. I think you want some fest tool because I see a Rotex on the end of your bench. Is that a Rotex?
Yeah. Yep. That is probably, I think, no, that was my second fest tool buy. The first one was the Pro 5 LTD. It was like a $100 promotion back when I first started. And I was like, $100? I'm getting fest tool. And I jumped on it and it was just like, oh man, I can sand without dust flying in my face. Because I went from a Black & Decker belt sander to a Festool Pro 5 LTD, and it was just like, wow.
Yeah.
And it was like, everybody talks about how you get hooked on the green Kool-Aid. That was it for me. I started saving my money for all the other ones that I wanted. And it just started growing from there. So now I think I have the Domino 700, nice. The TS 75 track saw, the Rotex 150, and I think that might be it. Cool. I'm forgetting one, but I think that might be it.
Cool. That's funny as heck. You mentioned the Pro 5. Hey, that promotion actually worked. We get you hooked on the Kool-Aid, right?
It did. But I got to be honest, though. After I got the Rotex, I was like, this Pro 5 ain't it.
Yeah, and amazing. And you got
that Rotex. It's just like, oh, my goodness. Like, man, I can take some material and I can do a decent finishing job with it. And so I've been working with the Rotex for years now, and it's been one of the best purchases I've made, like as far as like the quality finish that I can get off of it. So probably every 2 years or so, I'll replace the pad, you know, from, you know, digging down and stuff and using it the wrong way. But
running it on edge.
Yeah.
That's why we make more pads.
Yeah.
It's funny because The people listening and actually watching don't know, but I have Chris, the unit here in the room, and he's over here. He's listening to you talk about Festo. He's just giggling. That Rotex is it for me too. I love that sander.
And the crazy thing is like those are the tools I have from Festool are some of the core tools I have in my business. And back when I decided to take my social media platform more seriously and try to grow it, I started out with a giveaway to try to grow my channel and to, you know, get my account back to a, I guess, more fluid, more active status with the algorithm. And so I did a Festool giveaway because one, I thought that if I was going to do a giveaway and a big one, that it should be something that I have in my shop. And I felt like if anybody won this set of tools, then they would be able to do pretty much, you know, all the stuff they wanted to do as far as a growing shop. And so I did a giveaway. And the giveaway included the DF700 Domino, the TS75 track saw, and the Rotex 150. And so that giveaway was like me giving somebody a whole beginner shop thing, but with advanced pro level tools.
Yeah. Hey, how did I miss that giveaway? How long ago was that?
That's like maybe 2 years ago, 3 years ago now. I'm horrible with timelines, but
how did that help grow your social media platform?
Oh, it boosted it immensely. So before I posted the giveaway, I think I was at about 6,000 followers. After the giveaway, I was at about 15,000 followers.
Wow.
And then right after that was when you saw me at Workbench Con. And that was the first Workbench Con that I went to. And then from there, like, I just kept posting consistently, building relationships, and it just continued to take off and continued to grow. And so... It definitely helped me out. And the person that won the giveaway, he has been building so many cool things since then. He built cool things before then, but it's just been giddy for me to see him, you know, using the tools in his videos and stuff like that. So it's pretty cool.
That is an unbelievable story. That is amazing that you did that. Huh. That is way cool. I'm just sorry I missed that. Hey, did I say you have like 105,000 followers on IG?
Yeah. That's where I'm at now.
And you keep growing and growing. And maybe it's a little bit of a recognition for me to see you building, but also sharing it with people. You know, you have a great YouTube channel too. I was checking that out, and you talk to people about CNC work and stuff like that. You know, I always ask people who are on YouTube, how do you come up with the idea, and then how long does it take for that to be posted? Because I know there's a lot of work behind the scenes to get something posted, and I know it does slow down the workflow, right?
It used to, not as much now, just because I'm used to knowing where to place the camera, what shots I want and things of that nature, what I'm about to do, when is a good time to pull the camera out, and when is I'm doing something that nobody really wants to see type of deal. It's not as hard as it used to. When I first started, it was like a lot of thought process and trying to figure out, and it did slow down the work process. But now it's kind of part of who I am and who my business is. But yes, the YouTube does take longer. It is something that I am trying to get more consistent with, and I'm trying to grow that side of the business because, and most people think of it as just, you know, something to do, but I look at it as part of my business because you never know what those videos could lead to. You see many people in our community that started out with a couple of DIY tools and now they're 2-3 businesses in just because they built a community on YouTube. And so it could easily turn into something really cool, like a HGTV show or enough following to bring in enough money to where you can say, all right, let's bring in some people, let's hire some people and bring in some help. And we get this one streamlined and let's start the next business and continue to grow like that. So YouTube is where I'm trying to concentrate my focus on now, while not losing focus on Instagram at the same time. But like you said, the YouTube videos, so like the last video you saw me post, which was this week, I finished that job in April.
Yep.
And I had all the footage, but you have to sometimes prioritize. Am I going to take, you know, hours, days to go edit this footage and make the video? Or are you going to continue to do the work that you've got client work and stuff like that? And not to mention, I have a full renovation going on inside my house. So it's just like I'm juggling a bunch of different stuff. Yeah. And I'm just trying to prioritize what needs to be done. So I finally made the time to put the video together, edit the footage, and get it pushed out this past week. So
for me, on my side, there is no downtime. I'm always finding something to do and it's continuous. I like being busy, but there's one thing, and I know you're the same way. You don't even have to answer this question, but if you want to, you can. You have a family, and I have a family too. They are my priority. And we used to say in the cabinet business, if somebody's going to take us, because I had a business partner, his name is Mikey Zeisler, and he had children, I had children, wives, and we would say, somebody's going to take time away from Denise and Marianne and the kids, they're going to pay for it. And I was really stoked when you said, I raised my prices.
Yeah.
You know, that's important because your time is of value.
Yeah.
Right. And you're always trying to find time to save time in the shop so you can spend more time with them.
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, for sure. For sure. I mean, we would do other things. We own Festool in our shop in Fort Lauderdale, but he was always finding little things in the shop, like adding dust extraction here to this and that, and finding an easier way to spray and evacuate so we didn't have to buy a big spray. It was always something.
Yeah.
You know?
The more efficient you can be in the shop, the faster you can get back to your family.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
I could say it like this. It takes more pressure off of you to be trying to meet deadlines when you could be getting it done faster with the right tool. And so if I compare the way I do things now versus the way I used to do them, I can do it probably 10 times faster now, but just because of having the right tool and the tool being efficient at it. So if I compare, let's say, if I compare using a Pro 5 LTD to using a Rotex, I'm speeding up the process by at least 3 or 4 times over, because one, you go from a 5-inch to a 6-inch, and two, you got a Rotex mode and a finishing mode all in one sander. So I can power through my sanding phase and get more material off, switch it to finish mode, go through the finishing grits, and then, you know, water pop, do whatever I got to do, lightly sand over top of it with a hand sand to get any swirl marks out, and then go on to the process. Whereas if I just use the Pro 5, I would have to use it as long as it took for the finishing profile to sand down any imperfections. Or if I glued up a tabletop without dominoes in it, and now I have to fix any bumps or high marks because of the alignment is off just by a 16th or 32nd, it's going to take you a good amount of time to sit there and sand it down with a light sander versus a Rotex sander. So right tool, save you time, takes the stress off of you to be able to do things more efficiently, get things done faster, allows me to get back to my family and be able to be with my family and not be thinking about what I just cut short or stopped doing, but I still need to go finish. Like,
yep. Oh boy. Oh my goodness. It's like I'm talking to myself sometimes when I'm listening to you about, oh my God, it's so cool. Okay. Hey, I saw an Instagram account. I wanted to ask you this. You just spoke and you're at a Grow Beyond Local. What was that all about? I'm trying to wrap my head around it. Have you spoken in front? Is this in front of people or was it on the internet or what happened?
It was live in front of people. A good friend of mine, he was putting on the conference himself and bringing in other speakers. And so I was particularly speaking on social media and how to grow your account and things of that nature. It was the first time that I had spoke in front of people outside of the camera and Instagram and social media. And so it went really well. And as nervous as I was about it, once I started talking, it just kind of flowed out because it's what I do every day.
You're a natural, Nolan. You're a natural.
But you know as good as I do, when you start getting in your head and start thinking about, well, how am I going to do it? How am I going to do this? Or how am I going to do that? Or what are people going to think? You know, so you can get a little nerve-wracking. But I tried to go in and just be normal as I could and just be me and, you know, tell them what I know. And if I left anything out, to, you know, ask them to ask me questions and I answer their questions as best as I could. And from the event and from the people that were there, they said that they got information that it helped them and that they didn't know about, and they appreciated the information. So in my book, I think I did okay. I'm sure there are areas where I could do better. That's just me being a hard critique on myself, because in my opinion, nobody or nothing is ever perfect. So there's always going to be room for improvement. So and I've always been a person that will go back and study on how I did, what I did, how I can do it better next time. So I'm actually waiting on the gentleman's footage for him to send it to me so I can kind of critique myself and see some things I would like to change.
Yeah, that's awesome. Chris is over here. I got to say, he's nodding. He goes, he sounds like you, Sedge. So I'll add a little quick story to this. Right before, you were a little bit nervous. And if I could say one thing, good. Because if you're not nervous, then something's wrong. Because you are. Exactly. So we have a joke here. When I do Festival Live, I go, I'm getting nervous. I'm really not. Because I'm not in front of a bunch of people. Okay. I used to be, before the pandemic, Nolan, I was in front of people live almost every day. You know, I was doing trainings here for dealers or end users and stuff like that. And I did it for quite a few years. So when the pandemic hit, I was like, what are we going to do now? And when they suggested something like this, I said, oh, heck yeah, I'll do it. And they go, how often can you do it? I go, every day. You know, and I am like Festool Live is in 2 days, right? We're pre-recording this, but in 2 days. I am fairly set up for Friday already. It's Wednesday. We're recording on a Wednesday. I have so much extra stuff because I am my worst critic. And you even said it too, because it's not being perfectionist. You are representing Nolan Bills. I'm representing Festool at this moment, right? And you want to be the best person forward. So I'm going to tell you something. You're doing a great job. And the more... Oh my God, you're doing fantastic. And the beauty of it is you're also doing it in front of the camera and you're sharing it, not with a live crowd, but you're sharing it with thousands and thousands of people. And the best part about it, it's going to live forever, you know? And that is what we need in this community. We need more people like you. So, oh my God, that's so cool. So can I ask you, How long was your speech? Were you tired?
Maybe 10 or 15 minutes.
Yeah.
If that, I would say probably in 10 or 15 minutes. Like I said, I'm horrible with judging how much time, but I was just going. And yeah. I gave myself bullet points, and I would look down at the bullet points to see if I missed anything and kind of, do like that. And I kept going, and then I remember something that I didn't even think about writing down yet. And then I go off on a little bit of a tangent on that. But, you know, I just kind of wanted to give them as much as I could give them based on my knowledge. And if it helped even one person, then that was, well worth it for me. It's like, everybody may not follow suit or do anything with the information, but if one person does and they grow their account and say that because they grow their account, they now can leverage their account to, do more things to bring more income in for their family, then it was well worth it. Like,
that's so awesome. Yeah, I learn something from somebody every day. And that is or a lot of people every day. You always got to keep learning. Hey, what advice would you give somebody who is he's in a job right now, a career, and he's bored, right? But on the weekends, he's knocking a few pieces out in the garage, and he wants to make that step full time. Because I get asked this all the time. What bullet would you give them to really make them think about it?
I know it is a thing that everybody may aspire to be, and it may look like all glitz and glam. But you also have to be mentally prepared for when it's not going as well as you would like it to. And you have to be prepared to adjust. So one thing that I can say in my 3 years of being full time is that once you get your momentum going and you have clients and things coming down the pipeline, your marketing, you're doing everything right, everything's moving forward. Even if you feel overwhelmed with the amount of customers and things that are coming in or anything like that, never take your foot off the gas pedal, because it is 10 times harder to restart that engine than it is to keep the momentum going. And I'm telling you from experience, keep your foot on the gas pedal and never let go of whatever momentum you grab, whether it's through social media or through customers in your local area or through selling goods online. You have to keep your foot on the gas, and you would rather solve the problem of too much work than not enough work.
Yes.
You can prioritize, you can schedule out, you can hire employees, you can get subs, you can do whatever. But it's better to have money, have income, have jobs on the books than to stop it and say, let me get caught up. And then once you get caught up, try to restart the engine. And maybe you've lost traction. People are not really thinking about it anymore. The allure is gone. Now, all of a sudden, you got to start from ground zero.
Yeah.
You got to get back up. So the other thing is before you make the jump,
mm-hmm.
This is what I did. I like, for me, my wife has a full-time job, so I switched over to her insurance well before I ever quit. So like a year or two before I ever quit, just so we can get the numbers, get used to it. We did mock-up budgeting and lifestyle living to the point where if I didn't make any money, how would we survive? If I had an off month, if something didn't come in, something went wrong, if I get hurt, can we survive? And what would the numbers look like for that? And then what would be the minimum amount that I need to make in order to keep the household in good orderly condition. So those are some of the things you want to think about before you ever make a jump. And then also I did a 6 to 7 month backlog of trying to get those orders locked in with deposits before I ever, you know, took it full time. So those are the things that were on my checklist to get done and to try to cross every T and dot every I before I made that jump. And even after I had all that, I still didn't want to make a jump. I was like, I got guaranteed money right here. Yeah. Even though I don't like the job, even though I am stressed out, even though this is still going to be here every 2 weeks. And I was just like, that whole not knowing where your next paycheck coming from is, it can be a stressful thing. And, if you're going to go full time, just take this into account as well. Your mind will never stop working. Mm-hmm. You'll be trying to go to sleep at night and your mind will still be thinking about what do you have to do the next day? And when you're a one man show, you have all the hats on.
It's you.
You have marketing, you have accounting, you have bill paying, you have doing the work, you have customer relations, you have customer service, you have customer scheduling, all that. That's all you. That's all you. Mm-hmm. It never stops. You know, but at the end of the day, when you can say, this is mine, I'm doing it, and I love what I do, it's mm-hmm. all work. You got to have passion for it. You almost got to have an obsession. Because if you don't, it's going to fizzle out. The moment it gets hard and it's harder for more than 2 months, that's when you're going to be tested. Like, oh, did I make the right decision? Should I go back to the job?
Chris is over here nodding, going, Satch, he's you.
it's like I'm talking to myself. I said this probably about 10 times in this podcast already, but I really like hanging out with like-minded people that understand the business of woodworking.
Yeah.
And what you, I'm going to tell you, people are going to listen to this when we wrap up finally, Nolan, and they're going to go, wow, I needed to hear all that. Because you are handing out some serious advice to our listeners. And I could say it, but people might say, oh, he works with Festool. He doesn't do it anymore. But man, you're in the trenches right now. You know what's going on. And 30 years ago, doing stuff like that, I know, you know, about all of that. And it hasn't changed much. No. Because it's yours and you wear all the hats. No. So people don't realize the behind the scenes stuff. They think they're just building and making money, but there's all the accounting, all the bill paying, all the customer service stuff. Yeah. And then the callbacks, if you have any, and it's just wonderful.
And I mean, the other half of it too, is like, we just came out of the whole pandemic thing. And so for us as builders, we were over inflated. Like, we had so much work that I had professional cabinet shops just calling me or sending their customers to me because they were so booked up. So, mm-hmm. you know, for people who were looking to go full time, that pandemic time frame was a great time to go full time. But the other half of it is now that people are starting to go back into the office, less people are getting their home offices redone or making a home office, or all of this mm-hmm. extra work isn't flooding the market. Now you have to go out and go get your work, and it's not just falling in your lap anymore. And mm-hmm. so you have to be able to have a strong enough will to figure out whatever problem is in your face. And that might be, you know, sucking up your pride and saying, hey, let me call somebody. Let me reach out to somebody and say, hey, I'm struggling here. Is there anything you have that can help me? Or is there any information you have that can help me? And that's why I'm such a big proponent of trying to tell people or talk to people or give them any information I do know, because, you know, the more information you have, the better informed decisions you can make.
Yes.
And in my opinion, if I could at least help somebody at least make an educated decision when they get ready to do this stuff, then then that'll be, you know, one thing that they didn't get blindsided by. Because no matter how disciplined you are, there's something you're going to be so focused on, because you can see that your eye is on the prize and you missed, you know, this freight train coming that you just didn't take into account. And so if I can tell you that freight train is coming, at least you're aware of it and you don't have to quit or give up, but you can prepare for it. Because you know, whether you're prepared or not, it's probably still coming. You know, the business is an up and down thing. It's not always going to be up. So you gotta be willing to take those hits. And for me, like we talked about our community and being able to share, and, you know, I'm grounded in my faith and my religion. And in the good book, it says iron sharpens iron. And so being around like-minded people, you know, workbench kind, going somewhere like that once a year, even if it's a $600 ticket, man, you can get so much information, so much insight from the same people that are doing everything that you're doing. And it can be just one small little piece of information that could be like, oh, man, I didn't think about that. I can go back and put that into my business and do that or do this. And it might not even be in any of the actual talks where they have classes. It might just be me and you talking at the bar, and you got 30 years of experience, I got 5 years of experience, and you're like, hey, yeah, we used to just do this all the time, why don't you just do it this way? And it's just like, ow, I never thought about that.
Hey, I just realized something that I learned. They get talks at WorkbenchCon. Not that I'm always at the bar.
Look. Yes, they do. Yes,
do you know, I have met, Chris is laughing. Chris was at WorkbenchCon with us too. I'm going to tell you, I have met so many wonderful people there that have become full-time friends and just hanging out, and everybody's willing to share. And that's what I like. It just helps. It's helped me and my job here at Festool, because I met you there. We talk and say, hey, you want to do this and do that, and it works out. It's a great opportunity for people to meet the right people in the business.
Our community is one of the very few communities that the people and the businesses can be part of the community together.
Yes. Like,
how often, what other industries do you see the users and the companies interacting the way we do on a day-to-day basis?
It's not a trade show in my eyes. It's a place where people just go to hang out and share information.
Yeah.
And I tell everybody, it's so chill. It's so relaxing. And we just walk around, you know, and we meet people, and it's fun. For me, I just love going. Okay, so there's a question I have here, and I'm gonna break it down in two levels. It's about, who is your biggest influence on a personal level outside of woodworking and also in woodworking?
Personal level. I'm so intertwined into my business that the personal level, I don't even think I've thought about it anymore. I'll be honest with you, said on a personal level, I am following Jesus Christ, and I'm looking to that book every day for answers and trying to better myself and trying to stay sane and, you know, keep the faith and believe that I'm going to be okay, you know, the next day type of deal. But on a woodworking level, I would have to say, if I would just judge it on the people who kind of feed me and I consume their feed and their information most, I would say it would be, one, the first guy would be Justin from Rest of Grain Designs. So he's probably like 2 or 3 years ahead of me on the same journey that I want to be on. And as far as transitioning from furniture maker to cabinet maker, utilizing the CNC and edge banders and tools to kind of grow his business and be able to feed his family on a business that can handle, you know, feeding a large family. The second person would be Mike Coffey from Coffey Custom Builds. He is still majority on the furniture side, but because he talks about business so much and he gives so much insight into his business on a day-to-day basis, it allows me to listen to content that feeds my ideas, feeds my creativity, and allows me to think outside of my own box of what I have, what the plans I have for my business. I can kind of see, you know, when he talks about where he wants to take his business to and how he wants to grow it. And you can kind of see him buying tools and hiring employees and, you know, just continually to work at it and work at it and whatnot. And those two people, they provide so much information just being themselves on Instagram and through YouTube. And it's just, that's probably the two that I probably say I follow the most on where it is I want to take my business to.
For sure. And I'm going to say, unbelievable choices. I like them too. They're nice humans.
Those are two really good guys. Like, I've hung out with both of them, both at many of our events, and we've had the opportunity to come to the Festool Rubio Monaco events and other events for Festool and Workbench Con and other conferences and IWF and all these things. And I end up finding one of those two guys there, seems like every time. And we all chatted up about, you know, business and things of that nature. And I've always told them that if I could ever be of help to them as much as they've been of help to me, then feel free to ask any questions or any things that I could do.
Nolan, you're what this community is all about, my friend. Okay. I have taken up enough of your time. So, because I think Chris is like looking at me going, dude, you could talk all afternoon. He's got to get back to work.
I know the feeling. I can talk like this all the time because it's like, you know, on a day-to-day basis, I'm in the shop by myself.
Yep.
And so outside of WorkBitchCon and a couple of conferences a year, I don't really get to have these conversations in this depth too often. So it's a breath of fresh air to be able to just kind of chop it up, chat it up, and talk to like-minded individuals.
Have I not asked a question that I should have asked?
I think you the only question I would probably say would be like, well, where I see the business going.
What
I'm headed towards.
What's your future looking like? What are your expectations?
So my expectations, or what I am pursuing, is one, growing the business in the cabinetry side of the business, large enough for me to have to go out and get a commercial space.
And
the reason why I would want to go out and get a commercial space is because where I'm located, you can't have employees on your property. And so in order for me to scale, I would like to be able to hire employees. And because as much as I love building myself, I know for a fact that when I hit, you know, the 60 or whatnot, I may not be able to lift up that cabinet. I may not be able to lift up that tabletop. And so I have to have some type of business plan, some type of business plan and future plan that is going to allow me to have this business working for me and not me working for the business every single day. But there has to be some point where I can go take a vacation, I can leave, I can go do things with my family, and the business can continue to run. And that was another thing that I watched as Mike Coffey ran his business. The fact that he can go to the conference, he can go to wherever, and his jobs are still going. You know, his employees, he trusts them enough to be able to continue on with the processes and things of that nature. So I don't think I'll ever stop working in it, because I just enjoy working with my hands. I love making some raw materials turn into a beautiful product and seeing a customer's reaction on their face when they say, "I didn't think it was going to be like that. Man, that looks amazing." Those moments are just great. And I don't think I ever want to give up on that. So, but I would like to be able to streamline the business and grow it to a point where, one, I can help feed somebody else's family. If I can grow the business to where we got enough traction and enough notoriety to where the business is consistent, and I can actually help somebody else who may be a woodworker in their garage, but maybe they want to be able to do it as a living, and maybe I can pay them a good wage and they can come and get that creative juices out of their blood and get it out, and still be able to go home to their families and, you know, still interact. And so it's like, there's a lot of people out there that want to be full time, but maybe not don't want to handle the whole business side of it. You know? Like, it's not for everybody. The whole business side is a monster in itself, let alone the skill to build something. Sometimes some people just want to be able to make the money they want to make, build what they want to build, and then go home and relax and enjoy and not worry about, you know,
that's
finances or bills or, you know, accounting or scheduling and stuff. So
that's called being an employee.
Yeah.
Right. I'm going to go build something and go home at night and not do anything. And that's not an owner. And the thing about employees is it's always that worry. We have somebody really good, they're skilled, and they think you're making all the money and you have all the time off, and there it's a big misconception. So they go and open their own cabinet shop and it fails because they didn't understand the business behind the business.
Yeah.
I've seen that 1,000 times in South Florida. Too cool. Hey, another quick question. I'm sorry. Okay. I don't want to say, have you ever delivered something and people said, "Oh, I didn't expect that." And it wasn't on the amazing side.
No, I have not done that yet. And I hope to never do it, but I try to keep a clear line of communication between me and the customers.
Yes.
Try to get a really good idea, if not an actual 3D rendering of what it is that they want. And before we get any type of sign off or deposit, like, this is what you want. And if there's any changes, it's coming with a change order and yep. You know, a time change as well. So no, I have not. I try not to, but I do try to not share with them finished products until delivery or whatnot, so that they can have that, you know, sense of that looks amazing. I can't believe how well it came out, you know.
Yep.
We can take a picture and send it to somebody and say, "Well, how do you think this looks?" And then they could be like, "Well, what about? And
yep.
Next thing you know, their indecisiveness can turn into a whole.
Oh, I've been there. I've been there.
So there's a fine line between good communication and not, and still leaving a little bit for surprise. So when they do see it, they're not. They still have something to be excited about, like, you know, how clean the paint looks or how great the stain looks, or that clear coat is just silky smooth when they put their hand across it. You know, just, you know, all that is an experience. And a lot of people don't understand that part of being a furniture or cabinet maker or anything is not only just building it, but actually providing your customers with an experience that'll allow them to rave about you, so you can get that next customer.
Yeah, for sure. All right. I think this is going to be a wrap.
All right.
I'm going to say thank you. I think I'm getting used to this podcast thing. That was the third time I tried to wrap it up, but I'm the one who kept it going. So I'm that friend who says goodbye five times leaving your house. Yeah. Okay. Hey, Nolan, thank you so, so, so much for being part of this with us.
Thank you.
Oh my God. We had such a great time. I think Chris is like, wow, he can talk as much as you, Sej.
So, and you would believe that I'm the person who don't talk.
Oh man.
Yes. Any other setting outside of woodworking? Quiet as a mouse. I sit there and stand there and be perfectly content with not saying a word.
Yeah, when I'm home, that's my solitude, and I don't say too much. I'm in my shop, and that's where I want to be. All right, my friend, we're going to wrap this up. Kudos, great job, and we will talk.